Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome to another edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. We're going to continue today a lesson we started on Monday's program. This is Scary Scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21.
Let's be quicker to throw the Jesus card down than we are to throw the hell card down. Let's keep that up our sleeves. You know, I'll throw hell out there whenever they get. And you know, let me give you one more piece of evangelism advice. Never close a conversation with an unbeliever or with someone you disagree with or disagrees with you. Never close it with the following statement, particularly if you're talking to a believer who disagrees with you. Never close with this cocky, self-righteous, I'm smarter than you statement. I'll be praying for you. Let me tell you what I'll be praying for you means in that scenario. I will be praying that God show you what he has showed me. I've got it down and you obviously don't. I'll be praying that you get it down like I've got it down, so that the next time we meet up, you'll have it down. That's what it means. Otherwise, you wouldn't say it. You'd say, won't you pray for me? I'm going to tell you how to do it. Close with that. Pray for me. You know what? In fact, right here, right now, lay hands on me and pray for me. You're really going to find how much people want to fight you then. I mean it. I'm saying right here, right now. Come on, man, just give me something. Then look at them. They're not going to be praying for you. Come on, I'm waiting for it. How about shoot? How about cut? Give me some. Pray for me. Right? I'll take all the blessing I can get. Right? Better advice is just don't fight. But if you get caught up in it, don't shoot your foot off on the way out the door, all right? Because that'll do it. I'll be praying for you, brother. Someday you will be as smart as me. 2 Peter chapter 2. We are nowhere near verse 20. There's 20 minutes left on the clock. We're having way too much fun. Let's move a little faster, all right? Verse 10. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Be very careful how you speak of those in authority over you. Peter thought it was a shameful way for people to govern themselves was to always have bad things to say about people in authority. It's cheap. And it cheapens you. Because you're talking about people you don't know. Okay? And we're believers, and so we're supposed to be better than that. And not just our leaders, our presidents, our judges, our congressmen. Listen, we live in a country where you have a right to say what you want to say. You have the right to do whatever you want to do, as long as it doesn't infringe on someone else's right. And it doesn't always mean you should do it. And believers ought to talk better and act better and think better than unbelievers. I'm not slapping you around and throwing condemnation on you. Just be better than that. You find yourself in a situation, just be better than that. And remember that was the way Peter preached to the church. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, they don't bring railing accusation against them before the Lord. Think about that. But these, as natural beasts, the Greek phrase right here is natural brute beasts, is in their very nature, they are animals. Now, if you're in your very nature, if you're an animal, you're not saved. I don't mean they're dogs and cats and wolves. I mean they're an animal. They're a beast of a man or a woman. This is transformed when you're a new creation. Right? And so we're still talking about people who don't know the Lord. They're brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things that they don't understand and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the rewards of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. In other words, they do things out in the open that some people would be too embarrassed to do at night. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. This shows me that there are still unstable souls in the church. Souls is the Greek word psyche, people who have unstable minds, who will follow after that which is not truth. They beguile unstable souls. They have a heart that is exercised with covetous practices. And here comes your final proof that these are not saved. Cursed children. The believer is never called cursed. You go there on your time, but Galatians 3:13 tells us, Christ was made to be a curse for us, for as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's quoting Deuteronomy, where Moses said, I think it's Deuteronomy 21, where God said to Moses, if you hang a man, cut him down before the sun goes down, because otherwise you place a curse upon that family, upon that man. Cursed is that man if he hangs on a tree. Jesus hung on a tree so that he could explicitly be your curse. God could have had Jesus killed any other way, but specifically chose a time and place when they would crucify. That was a very small window in the history of the world where men would crucify man. And so God chose that window because he had already set up the curse attached to that death. Isn't that something? He attached that curse when no one really could understand why he would attach a curse to hanging people from a tree. It was because he was going to hang Jesus on a tree. He pre-cursed the hanging on a tree before he ever even hung Jesus. And he had you in mind. These people are going to be living under a curse all of their lives, so I'm going to curse my own son so that he will be the curse so they can be blessed. Praise God. So if there's cursed children, these aren't believers. 15. They forsook the way, the right way, and are gone astray. They follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. I wish we had all night to teach on Balaam. We've done some teaching on Balaam. Dig through the archives and get some sermons on Balaam and Balak, and I won't get too deep, but this man tried to curse that which was blessed. That was his whole ministry, was to try to curse what God had already blessed, and it didn't work. The more he cursed them, the more God blessed them. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, look at 17. These are wells without water. Look what Jesus says, John 4:14. Watch this. You know this story. I'm going to read it to you, and you can turn there too. But remember, Jesus is sitting at the well, talking to the woman at the well. And he says this in verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Okay? It shall be a well of water. Now go back to 2 Peter 2:17. These are wells without water. Guess what they lack? Jesus. They lack the Holy Spirit. They lack Jesus. They are wells. They have the container. They know the religion, but they don't know the relationship. There are wells without water, clouds carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that are clean escape from them who live in error. Sexual impurity has been on the rampage through the history of mankind. We tend to think it's worse now than it was last generation, and then it was worse that generation than it was the one before that. But let's get over ourselves. The truth of the matter is that sexual impurity has been one of the enemy's great tricks in families and marriages and homes since Adam and Eve. He's been messing people up with it. That's wantonness, by the way. It's the big King James word for sexual impurity. It actually only appears two times in the New Testament. The other time is in Romans, I think the 13th chapter. The Apostle Paul says, let the church not be in chambering and wantonness. And the word chambering literally means the bedchamber. Let the church not, let a believer not always be thinking about who they're going to bed next. That's literally what he meant. Chambering and wantonness. Chambering and sexual impurity. Now, look at what the Apostle Peter says. One of the things that's going to come of this, they're going to allure through the lust of the flesh, through sexual impurity, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. And the phrase, those that were clean, is the Greek word, those who were scarcely clean, just had heard the message of His grace, just had been introduced to the cleanliness of Christ, and it's so quick for them to be pulled away. Man, if I've ever seen the enemy do this trick once, I've seen him do it 1,000 times. He will come after new converts with sexual impurity as fast as any temptation that he ever uses. Because if he can pull them back into that lifestyle, he knows there's such guilt and condemnation attached to it in their own mind and in their own heart, that if he can pull them away to that, he can pull them clean out of church. And people who are close, on the edge, they're just being introduced to the message. And this is why it's so dangerous for us to have our church built on anything but the loveliness of Jesus. Okay? I want you to, if you need to come to church to find a husband or to find a wife, praise God. Okay? I want you here, I don't care why you're here. If you're here because you don't sleep good at your house, but man, you can sleep when pastor preaches, welcome home. You know? I mean, we'll I'm glad you're here for whatever cause. If you're here just to date, you're going to have to fall in love with the loveliness of Jesus because it's not going to last very long for you otherwise. And you won't be here very long, even if you find the person. Because when Jesus doesn't become that focus, that focal point, everything else becomes stuff.
Yeah.
But everything else gets over too much significance, overemphasized. And that's why we end up having to put out fires, you know, and fight situations and issues. Peter was beyond it. Verse 19, we're getting there. We got 14 minutes to go. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Look at this. They promised the people listening to them that they'll be free. But they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Whatever dominates you owns you. Whatever puts you underneath its thumb owns you. I don't care if you don't call it sin. He said, well, I don't think this is wrong. But if it owns you, you can't own it. If you can't own it, you're its slave. It's not your slave, you're its slave. It doesn't mean you're not saved because you have something else in your life that is an addiction for you. But it does mean that you're going to be split in your affection. There's no other way for you to live but to be split in your affection. You're going to be double-minded. And James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The people that live underneath the thumb of whatever addiction it might be are going to be unstable in living for Christ. They're going to be unstable in their giving. They're going to be unstable in their faith. They're going to be unstable in their church attendance. They're even going to be unstable in their marriages, their jobs, their finances. Every area of their life will suffer because something else controls them. And this is what Peter's warning against. When that happens, you're brought into bondage. Verse 20. Now, I want you to watch verse 20. I think verse 20 is speaking to you of the kind of people that were promised liberty in verse 19. Because in verse 19, he promised them liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, that's the same that's brought into bondage. For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then they're again entangled in them and overcome, then the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, I want you to notice the phrase entangled again. Go back to Galatians 5. Let's watch how Paul would say this. Here's how Paul would phrase almost the exact same statement. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore. You know this scripture, but if you don't know where it's at, memorize where it's at. It's a good one. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has given you liberty, so stand up for it. Why are we so radical here with the message of grace and liberty? Because we have to take a stand for it. Because the enemy wants us to sit down on liberty. He really wants... Did you know that? The devil is a defeated foe and he knows it. He knows he can't beat you by stuff. In fact, he knows more long-term damage can be done by the church setting on their liberty than by somebody in the church committing a big sin than everybody knows about it. Because if somebody commits a big sin in the church and everybody knows about it, the church is the kind of church they should be. They'll rally and support and love that individual. They'll nurse them to health. It'll be better than it was before.
That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to myself, Pastor Paul, from a recent Wednesday evening Bible study entitled Scary Scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. This entire sermon is just under an hour in length and available to you, the radio listener, postage paid and free of charge. Contact us and ask for it by the title, Scary Scriptures, 2 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21. We'll get you your own copy today. Until next time, this is Pastor Paul White saying, God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.